time to get up, get out of bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
To the end zone and caught for the touchdown, McCoy. Milton to Brew McCoy. Milton gonna take a shot wide open and just strutting in is Keaton. Joe Milton does it again.
Best formation football there is. And that feeling for Josh Heupel. The Tennessee Volunteers are the champions of the Capital One Orange Bowl. And Joe Milton has got to feel great.
Rick Barnes, Bill Self shake hands. Tennessee, they're your champs. The Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis goes to the Volunteers. And they were the bad boys from the jump in this one.
That's an interesting question. Oh,
this is a smooth shot. Wake up, squirrels. You got a visitor. Into the trees.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. You hear? Hell's coming with me.
Studios of Fan Run Radio. It is Sweet 16 edition. 3 and Out.
What is that, the amount of time Adam's going to be here till he leaves?
Yeah, probably. Maybe a little longer.
Sweet 16 minutes.
Well, he, you know.
Yeah, he's got to go supervise.
He doesn't have to, He's just...
I hope you got your 15 things ready.
You know what?
I'm getting sick. I can't do that today.
I'm kind of annoyed.
You're getting sick and you're going to go stand outside for 4 hours? You think that's smart?
I'm kind of annoyed with Hickman. I didn't catch it earlier.
Kind of?
I didn't catch it earlier, but, you know, he picks Tennessee to go to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
So that either he's right, which he was, or he gets a dog Rick Barnes if we don't make it. You know, we talk about how...
No, he's the bad fan that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
No, when, I'm not.
Yes, you are!
When we criticize Rick Barnes, we're like, well, you guys are pulling for him to lose. Like, the hell I was! Pretty pumped up at the moment. And on Saturday when, you know, the Vols beat Duke's ass, put him away, Olivier Kamwa gives us that out-of-nowhere performance. We even talked about that. We're like, who's it going to be? You know, other teams have done this to us. It would be nice if we can do this to someone else. And boom, it happens. But then I got to thinking. I was like, oh, yeah, Hickman predicted that they go to the Sweet 16 before the tournament so that he's kind of covered either way.
We're going to the Final Four, baby.
See what I mean? Now he's doing it even worse.
You're such a scumbag.
The path is there.
Yes, everyone has a path.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're still alive, there's a path.
You don't like ours, though.
I mean, that was what became very evident as the weekend progressed was, you know, if you can beat Duke, Purdue's gone.
It's Memphis is gone.
It's Fairleigh Dickinson versus FAU. Did you watch that game last night?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was a track meet.
Yeah.
That was fun. Can we, like, could we have left the coach there maybe to, like, as soon as their season's over, can we call that little number two for FDU? I mean, he and Zakai together. Oh, baby.
might already have happened. You never know.
That kid was insane.
Their play style is very fun to watch.
He ended up having to take too many shots from outside, but when it was close, he was able to get to the basket. Man. But yeah, FAU going to present a different challenge than we're used to, but hell, it's not. You're not playing a number one seed. I think you'll take
it. No, we're not.
I think we'll take it. I'm not saying that's going to be an easy game. Thursday night at what, 9 o'clock TBS?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
Guesstimation.
The second game from Louisville, Kentucky.
Who plays first on TBS before
Wait,
us?
I thought we were going to New York.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. What am I talking about? Madison Square Garden. Let's look at the wrong thing.
I think it's Kansas State, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the game before. It's got it. It's 6:30, their tip.
Wait, what do you mean by... It depends on what you mean by game before. The game right before is the team we would play if we win.
Okay, yeah.
Michigan State, Kansas State.
I mean, that doesn't always add up, but I guess once you get to the Sweet 16, it will.
No, it literally always adds up. Either you play before or after the other teams that you play.
I know, but like in the round of 32, I'm talking about what game comes on the channel before us.
On TBS
Yeah,
before
on the network, yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you. I mean, there is that game in between because they're all staggered.
Yeah. Bama's going to the Yum Center this weekend.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. That is the other one on Thursday. Is the Louisville, what is that, South region.
San Diego State's going to shock the world.
You know, I was really impressed with Houston.
Thursday's games are Vegas and New York.
What? I'm way off.
Michigan State, Kansas State, 6:30 TBS. Arkansas, UConn, 7:15 CBS from Las Vegas. Florida Atlantic, Tennessee at 9.
Thank you, Chris.
Gonzaga at UCLA, 9:45.
Just going to and say I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
That's why I'm here.
Appreciate it. Yes. Michigan State, Kansas State, 6:30 TBS. That's the game right before us on the channel and also in the physical arena. I wasn't sure which way you're asking that question. But then the game right before us on just any TV station is Arkansas-UConn. It's at 7:15 on CBS. That'll be the first game there from Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. Then Tennessee, Florida Atlantic will start 30 minutes after Michigan State, Kansas State ends, so could be a little after 9. Then Gonzaga, UCLA will follow Arkansas, UConn from the same arena there. East and West on Thursday. South and Midwest on Friday. What?
These ticket prices.
Oh. Are they bad?
You can get in to see Tennessee, Florida Atlantic for $185. Arkansas, UConn, the UCLA Gonzaga game, $237. But if you wanted to go Friday to watch any of that basketball, it'd cost you about $73. Stupid. Shouts out to Louisville and Kansas City for having reasonably priced tickets.
They're all resale, though. Like, it's just the market.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, the market is in New York and Vegas is ludicrous.
Okay. Yeah,
but if we win these two games this weekend, we play Bama, right?
Yeah,
more than likely.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Whereas they don't have those regions like
whoever comes out
same night. I guess.
I'm happy Creighton won, but just thinking long term, I think if you want Bama out, I think Baylor was the better bet to do it. But I mean, if Creighton goes 50% from three against a Bama team that can get cold.
You counting out Princeton? They whooped Missouri's ass. That was the biggest beat down of the weekend.
Yeah, I think
Are
at
you
some
kidding
point.
Me?
And they beat Arizona.
That slipper's not going to fit.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, actually. But good Lord. I think I was more surprised by the way. Maybe not. I was very surprised by the way Princeton beat Missouri. Not that they did, but just how bad it was.
Complete control the whole game.
I mean, it was insane.
That's what they do, though. They play within themselves. They know exactly what they're – I mean, Missouri, it's a bad matchup for us, but that's a helter-skelter team.
Okay.
They're throwing up 35-footers and just like, yeah, we'll see. Princeton, much more methodical. Much more disciplined. Well, not that I think Missouri is undisciplined. It's that's just part of what they do is they play like their hair's on fire.
Well, I thought Creighton beating Baylor actually gives Princeton a chance to win. Princeton isn't going to match up against Baylor as well with their physicality, but Creighton, you know, that's a mid-major team. That's a team they can at least hang in with. So those games will be very interesting. It's been a really I can't decide if it's been a really fun tournament or has it been a really fun tournament because we're still in it. I mean, obviously,
I think both. Yeah, answer, I think both.
But you also have to ask how many tournaments you stopped giving a crap about once Tennessee was out in
that's
the first or
what
second
I mean.
Round.
Yeah, sure. But
I think it's been one of the best ones.
One of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you were right. And one of the worst.
I mean, there's just been a lot of there's been no overtime games still, though, right?
That's wild.
There's been a lot of close ones to have no overtime games.
Has there been a buzzer beater yet? I don't think so.
Furman, I guess. I mean, closest thing to it.
It's like 2.2, right?
Yeah.
So not a technical buzzer beater, nothing going to overtime. It's pretty wild considering how wide open it is.
A lot of games have gone to the wire, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, RIP Duke.
No. Just rest. I don't care about their peace. Just rest, Duke. You need it.
You know, Burt Macklin's friend really doesn't know much basketball. That was rough breakdown.
Did you happen to listen to the voluntary reaction?
I listened to part of it.
Oh, my God. Dave Hudson. I'm glad we won, but... I mean, just caveat after caveat of, oh, well, if Duke could add their, what's his, Mark Mitchell?
Yeah.
The greatest player in the history of the world, according to Dave Hudson, worth at least 30 points.
I saw some tweets, some people were talking about, you know, someone associated with Fan Run making excuse after excuse for Duke. And so now it makes sense.
Well, I'm sure they've been better with Mark Mitchell, but I was... And don't get me wrong, both these things exist at the same time. I thought Tennessee played one of their best games of the year. I also think Duke was very underwhelming compared to what I thought they could be.
That's the softest Duke team I've ever seen in my life. They just could not handle physical basketball.
I feel like I feel like Duke as a basketball kind of program got softer and softer late in Krzyzewski's reign. And yeah, I actually agree with you. In fact, it's crazy. I felt like because Furman got overwhelmed physically by San Diego State, and in a way, Duke was like a taller Furman team, which is a pretty big slap in the face to a program like Duke. I mean, they run the same type. Like, you know, a lot of ball screen, a lot of dribble handoff, like a lot of the same types of action. And Duke just does it with taller kids that just still can't go by anybody. And I was looking back at their KenPom. Filipowski takes way more shots than anybody else on the team. And I kind of thought, he's not a great, like, finisher around the basket. Like, he's not a good shooter.
It felt like he was when they'd get him a ball where he could like catch and almost spin immediately and avoid
like
the
make
contact.
A play, but
going through contact, he was not particularly good.
Well, and
good.
When our guys were in position, he just struggled to get off the shot in a way that looked like he was going to make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if any of our post guys were in decent position, he wasn't really going to score, or it was going to be kind of a miracle shot to score. I mean, he was 6 of 16 from the floor. He still took the most shots on their team. But
0 of 5 from three, which we said he hits like 1 of 4 per game. He ended up taking 5, but he didn't hit any of them. I think they may have counted the air ball at the buzzer, though. So really 0 for 4.
But yeah, I mean, they didn't.
Can't believe he
airballed. Understand why. I thought John Shire coached pretty poorly. Like they stayed in the. They went to zone, I guess, to protect Roach from 100%, foul trouble.
100%.
But it lit Tennessee's offense on fire.
Yes.
Because it created space in the mid range. And once Kamwa saw a couple mid-range shots go down, he gained confidence from three, and then he daggered them at the end with three-point shots.
Yeah, did you see what Barnes said about that? He said it completely saved our legs in the last 8 minutes, because on offense, instead of running around and screening and cutting, it's just a lot of ball movement, shorter cuts to the open spaces in the zone. He said then it was – he basically said because they went to zone and we could run our offense the way we wanted to, we could even go that much harder on defense, which is why we got – I mean, once they went to zone, we – if that game goes another 10 minutes, we win it by 30. Because they were gassed, they were done, and we were just clicking on all cylinders, you know, that we needed to.
Well, I didn't understand why they didn't get out of the zone really quickly. Because Duke's
– because Roach had already fouled out, and they didn't want him to foul out again.
Well, Duke's problem wasn't on the defensive end. It was a similar problem to what Tennessee had this year. I mean, they held Tennessee to 27 points in the first half. They need to find ways to score. And honestly, they would have probably been – their best chance to win was probably to play faster on offense and try and beat Tennessee down the floor.
I agree.
But they didn't – I didn't realize – I didn't even look at the box score after the game, especially for minutes. But, I mean, they played five guys 33 minutes or more. So Whitehead actually played 33 minutes. I guess maybe he just wasn't as effective in the second half. I mean, they played Grandison 17, Young 4, and Blake's 1 off the bench. So Duke really couldn't play fast. They were much thinner than Tennessee. And we said it. We talked about it. You know, everybody was like, well, Duke will steamroll Tennessee because look at how these teams are playing now. But we said – when Tennessee plays a team, the better the team is, the more Tennessee brings them down on the on their offensive end. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Duke did a great job defensively against Tennessee for, what, like the first 15 minutes? I mean, the game felt like it was like 15-15 at, you know, 10 minutes in. I mean, it was just a dogfight. And then Tennessee's first of all, shouts out to Santiago Vescovi for having the – first half of his life, or if you want to break into like the second quarter, he just seemed to take over for Tennessee, and he's what his either not just his scoring, but his action, his passing ability, his ability to get to draw two defenders before he kicked and then create space for others. I feel like he's the difference why Tennessee has the lead at halftime. It was pretty even up until that point, and then in the second half, obviously Olivier Ekwonu comes to life, scoring late. But I don't even think, if he doesn't hit a couple of those threes, I mean, Tennessee still wins this game by 8 or 9. You know, that was just kind of the punctuation mark, I felt like. And Tyreek Key, 1 of 7 from the floor. But
big
really,
three, though.
Really, when I watched him play, he did some really good things to open up space for others. And his plus-minus was second on the team behind Santiago Vescovi.
Wow.
Yeah. So the guards... Mayshak was all over the place getting deflections and stuff like that. Obviously didn't do much on the scoreline, but he only took two shots, so it doesn't really hurt you. He does need to make some free throws if this team's going to go.
Hey,
really
at least
deep.
He was hitting the front end.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he got you 2 points by doing that. Otherwise, whew.
I mean, the refs let him play. Duke attempted 7 free throws. Tennessee attempted 13, and that worked out. I love the physicality from the Vols. I love that's kind of the – see, they've found some type of identity, even if it's not really technically on offense. At least it's like kind of something. I did think Uros's like elbow move, the first one, was unnecessary. Although Filipowski definitely, you know, sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I have no problem with him doing that.
I mean, yeah, that's a foul.
But
I wouldn't even have been mad if they called that a flagrant. Like you can't just hit people like that. Like, don't do that.
He looked back before he even threw the elbow.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, where's this guy? Yeah. Bam! Like
you're talking about the elbow.
Yeah,
if they'd have called that a foul, I hated that one. The other one, if you want to call it a foul, okay, but I've seen a lot. If Filipowski's ready and actually wanting to rebound, that's just a hit and a hold, and it's two guys going for the ball.
Yeah.
But he, of course, goes flying backwards.
Yeah.
I got into about a 2-hour spat with Doug Gottlieb.
I saw that.
And I'm just like, buddy, I have been hit harder than that at women's practices. Go sit down.
He probably got mad and tried to steal your credit card information after that.
He may have. I don't know.
I mean, we pretty much used to teach our high school.
But did it make you mad he was doing that, Plavich? I was pretty mad about him doing
that. The elbow, not the box
the guy
out.
On the three when we're up.
That well, was that's not, stupid. Not a. Yeah. He barely.
He did nothing
his
but hurt you. No points in 4 fouls in 15 minutes.
I don't know, man. I think it set the tone.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue that.
I'm not so sure Filipowski didn't get concussed when he took the elbow too.
Well, that one was.
I mean,
that was incidental.
A,
yeah,
yeah. Did y'all see the elbows he was throwing once he cleared the board? Like, worse than anything Euros was doing. I don't think any of them hit anybody anywhere. But
well, Duke couldn't really hit anything, so.
Zing.
They weren't good, man. That's not a good basketball team. Like that, they're just.
But they're 17-1 when they're healthy.
17. Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess they without Mitchell they weren't technically healthy. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
Played the playing field.
We looked at their schedule.
Said
like,
he tweaked his knee in warmups.
In practice, the day before.
Practice. Okay.
Looking, yeah. He played pretty well against Oral and Robertson.
Yeah, it was practice the day before.
That Lively kid is such a waste of space for Duke. All they did was just talk about him.
Well, he's one of those defense-only guys. Like, we struggle. Anytime we were around him in the first half, we missed a shot because he challenged everything. But on
he's
offense,
the one who blocked Plavsic against the glass, right?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Did he take a shot?
No.
Really?
Yeah, he had 11 rebounds.
He didn't take a shot. 11 rebounds. So I wouldn't – I mean, definitely, yes, on offense, waste of space. He was good for them on defense, but – I mean, we went through it, though. The teams they beat healthy, like, aren't good teams. So, okay.
No,
cool.
Honestly, the reason I picked Tennessee to win Friday was because, and I keep going back, this is the only game I watched Duke play all year, that game against Miami. They struggled with ball pressure.
They did beat Miami on Friday.
Well, I know, when they were healthy. But I went back, and I remembered Miami's defense from that game, and I just thought, we're going to play at least that type of defense.
Yeah.
We forced, 15 turnovers? I think they had 20-something in that game against Miami. But really, I mean, the turnovers were nice, but it was just not letting them have easy looks at the basket. I mean, even in the first half when they had the lead, some of those threes they hit were...
Oh, yeah, and they were all Whitehead. And so I was thinking, when all the threes you're making are one guy, I always think, this is probably isn't going to keep up. You know, like when threes are being made by multiple guys on a team, it's like, okay, this team's getting good looks. They're making shots. When one guy hits a few in a row, it's like, yeah, he's probably going to cool off, or you can adjust to one dude.
Yeah.
Well, it's just weird that all these media people were having such a problem with their physicality. But, I mean, Duke themselves were talking about how, you know, physical we were, but in a good way. You know, we weren't prepared for it, you know, kind of thing. They weren't making excuses that we're playing dirty.
Well, everyone had Duke penciled into their Final Four, and they're so mad that their brackets like that.
Jay Billis. Tennessee played too hard.
He said that on College Game Day. He said Tennessee played too hard. Too hard.
But then you got to love Barkley. Barkley's like, I loved it.
Yeah, Barkley's like, that's the most impressive thing I saw all weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just.
That's the difference between a guy who knows basketball and a guy who is a clown and a Duke homer.
I mean, I think Jay Billis knows basketball. I think it's very hard sometimes for people to. Especially him because he played at Duke and, you know, the brotherhood. And it was – I've seen a lot of soft fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen quite the level of – and maybe it's because I don't – I mean, because everyone else was like, dude, it's Duke. They're always like this when they lose. But since we've never beaten Duke and only played them once years ago before social media was even a thing, I mean, there were dudes writing essays about – how bad the Tennessee fans were for not understanding that this level of physical basketball is bad for the game. It's like, oh, my God.
We only caught 11 fouls. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, everything that was quote-unquote too physical got called as a foul.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what's the problem?
Like, and we won the game.
Yeah.
So, like, you should have played better. I don't understand. I mean, it's really rich coming from a fan base who really, you know, burst on the scene when a guy stomped a dude in the regional final, and that was what, you know, propelled them to greatness. Like, I would love to get – you couldn't do it now, and the bias would be there, but if somehow you could wipe Coach K's memory, like, and he doesn't remember that he played at – or that he coached at Duke – If you could just convince him that he had coached at, you know, Maryland or something and said – and you'd have to get his take from, like, 1997. And he'd say, hey, what do you think about this game? He would love it. I mean, he said the book. I got the book right out there. He's like, Christian Laettner was an MF-er. Like,
yeah.
Like Coach K would have been on Tennessee's side in this debate, if he could remove the bias and you could ask him in the 1997 Coach K, not the Zion. You know, what is it about coaches that the older they get, the more whiny? I'll say one thing about Rick Barnes. He doesn't get out there in the press conference and whine about everything that impacts his guys. He might throw his own dudes under the bus, but he's not. He's not Jim Boeheim-ing it out there. Yeah. Well, the gym floor was a little uneven, and you know, like just finding dumb crap to complain about.
He woke up Saturday and went Big East Barnes. That's what it was.
It worked. I'll take it.
I like Braveheart Barnes better. Showing them, that's what he did. The Slab 5. I told you the story. Showed them the battle scenes in slow motion. I mean, this is the same crap when he got Clemson to number one in the country that Dean Smith accused him of. He said they had a Turbe, I think was the guy's name, and Dean Smith yelled at him during the game, and Dean Smith was ready to fight. Dean Smith was about to get his butt whooped by Rick Barnes, was ready to fight. It's like, let's go. This is what it takes. When you're not a blue button, this is what it takes. Yeah. You either got to, like, cheat a little bit and get, like, you know, 4 or 5 lottery picks and go at it. Or, I mean, I was impressed. All the teams that looked really good that aren't, like, staples in the tournament were all out physical their teams. Like, Houston, I mean, that team just – took over on the defense. Did you watch that game? Did you watch Auburn Houston?
Well, I saw Auburn couldn't hit a free throw.
Well, there was that, but in the first half, Auburn was up 10 at halftime. Houston comes out. Auburn can't get a shot off around the basket. It either got blocked or they did get fouled. Broom got fouled a lot which was smart because he's 54% on the season and he shot even less than that, mm-hmm. and they lost the game easily. And well, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant strategy to be. It was kind of like when you're playing and it's like game point and you're like, well, you're not getting a layup to win this game. Like, I'm just going to foul the crap out of you and give you the ball back. I mean, they kind of turned it into that game and they blocked a gazillion. They had two guys with like 6 blocks at one point in the second half. It was insane. And San Diego State did the same thing to Furman. San Diego State has a guy that retired from basketball and they taught him to come back in for his COVID year. And he was blocking everything around the basket. All the teams still left that you haven't really heard much about, it's because they're really physical.
Hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these soft teams are headed home. It's good to see. We'll talk more about it, get into the bracket more. It's a Sweet 16 edition. Can't beat it. Still alive. Survive in advance. Tennessee 65, Duke 52. Tied their lowest point total, I believe, in tournament history for the Blue Devils. Stick with us right here for more. 3 and Out. Three and Out continues. If you'd like to weigh in on the Big Orange Philly phone lines, give us a shout, 865-546-8200. Tennessee 65, Duke 52. Olivier Komwa, 27 points. He was 10 of 13 from the floor. He only played 22 minutes.
Well, that's what's weird. Like, I'm on the rewatch of the – like, I know he got really hot there at the end, but for a while that was, like, the quietest 20 points – I can remember. And then he hits the, you know, back-to-back threes, the putback dunk, and it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's having a pretty good. But, yeah, 27 points, 22 minutes.
We had 23, in the second half, I think?
Wow. Well, that would make sense.
Did he? Because he played, I don't remember.
He scored your first basket of the game, and I think he hit 2 free throws in the first half.
That's crazy.
Kevin Harlan was phenomenal on the call. Especially when he hit that last big three. Where he said, he cannot miss. But in a way, only Kevin Harlan can say it.
Yes, he's very unique. I love Kevin Harlan.
The GOAT.
Duke got up 19-13 with 8:09 left to go in the first half. And that's when I thought Vescovi really, really took over. He had a three off an assist from Mayshak. He got to the line, Tennessee's next possession. So he scored five in a row to cut it 19-17. Actually, looks like he might have even got to the line twice. Duke went on a huge drought to end the first quarter, first half. Two halves. They got stuck on 21 at the 4:56 mark and had that at halftime.
Clamps.
Key hit a three-point jumper with 1:20 to go in the first half. Adu scored 4 points during that stretch down to end the first half. That was big deal. Closest it got in the second half, looks like Tennessee 33, Duke 31. And then Tennessee just started kind of gradually pulling away, and then Kamal kind of exploded at the end. The Tennessee defense just shut them down. I mean, you look at Duke's shot chart, tons of missed threes, even a lot of mid-range shots missed, and even some shots around the basket missed as well. Tennessee shot chart, much more spread out.
Yep.
And Tennessee does have a lot of mid-range misses. I don't think the Tennessee offense was great, but Duke had been playing a lot better defense, late in the season, and that's Burt Macklin on Friday told us that's been the difference for Duke. It's not necessarily that they're scoring that much better, it's that their defense has been really good. And when a team has 2 7-footers, especially Lively's like really athletic, and Filipowski's, I'd say, fairly average for that size. He's definitely not kind of slow of foot. It did make Tennessee scoring around the rim kind of tough, but Tennessee hit enough threes to kind of spread them out, and then when they went zone, it just kind of opened up some other things. Timely shots. I mean, 65 points isn't always going to win games by double figures, but you got it. You got Duke to play your style, and that was it.
Put him in the meat grinder. I love how that one segment where they're talking about, who was that? Was that Roach? No. I guess it was Whitehead. He had the block on one end, then hits the three on the other, mm-hmm. and that was more of a foul than what Pavsic did to that other guy. Just, you need these D and three guys in the NBA. It's like, well, if we're going to call it fair, that wasn't a block. That was a foul, and
yeah.
Then he hits the three. A lot of Duke fans complaining about the officiating.
What could they possibly?
I don't know. It feels like a catch-all. You just say, "Oh, the damn refs."
Yeah,
but
lost by 13. It wasn't even really close. Like, I don't know what to. Like, I thought Whitehead hit some tough threes for Duke in the first half. That's why they got the lead. I don't feel like Tennessee allowed Duke to have any really open looks at the basket all day.
Yeah.
Duke was slow. Like, I think FAU will give Tennessee much more trouble than Duke did.
Hmm.
And that's lots of these teams. Duke's guards are they're kind of, they're not especially quick. Like, they're just kind of, like, the Proctor's, he's just kind of long and smooth.
Mm.
Like, Duke's too smooth. Not herky-jerky enough, you know?
Not exactly, but I'm interested in this point.
Like, without Zakai Ziegler, I feel like the teams that are going to give Tennessee the most trouble are the guys that have stop-and-start guards. And if they have two of them, it could be a problem.
They played two bigs the whole game.
Yeah,
that helped us.
Yeah,
too.
I mean,
athletic.
We'll still have the trees around the basket when those guys get in there. But you either have to be, like, to score on Tennessee, you either have to be quicker than them and be able to finish, be able to spread them out and move our bigs around enough to where there's not Adu who's not waiting on you at the rim when your little guard gets there to make that shot tough. Or you've got to be able to – your guards have to be so physical that they're like the same. They're like Arkansas, the same size as Julian Phillips, just twice as thick and going to just bully him and score through him. Or you got to move the ball around and knock down open threes. And Duke didn't do any of those things. Like those are the ways you beat Duke. Those are the ways you're going to beat Tennessee. Either at least beat our defense. You're either going to have to be use a quickness advantage, or move the ball around and hit open threes. Which Duke only got a couple open threes all day. They actually hit some tough threes in the first half. Mm-hmm. It felt like. Or you've got to have a big that can pass is really helpful. Duke's bigs didn't pass well at all. Like Filipowski only drew kind of like a double team and a kick out to get them an open look a couple times the whole game. They moved more around the perimeter and kind of ran that, like I mentioned, kind of that Furman offense. Like they're setting ball screens and not a lot of post touches for Filipowski and Lively to like draw defenders and play inside out. And that's what we did, especially when they went to the zone. We drew the ball into open space, forced them to collapse a little bit, and then moved the ball to more space and got pretty good looks and then knocked those shots down.
Once they went zone, our looks were amazing.
Well, and Kamwa has always been that athletic. We talk about how he'll have a out-of-nowhere play where he, you know, dunks a rebound home or gets an alley-oop or whatever. But the difference in this game is he made some shots.
Yeah.
All season, he's been able to find some mid-range space all season.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is his shooting on those has been very streaky, and a lot of times in big games he's missed a lot of those shots. In this game they just all went down, and that was the difference. I mean, you couldn't.
I mean, that little turnaround fadeaway from 8 to 10 feet, nobody can defend that when he goes up. I mean, as high as he jumps when he shoots it and fading away, like no one can block that.
His problem is he doesn't normally make it.
I know. If he starts hitting that consistently,
I doubt he will. I doubt we'll get like this performance again.
No.
But what Tennessee needs and what they had early in the season when they were good is we had a performance like that from a different guy every game.
Every time. Yeah. Right.
Or everybody played pretty well all at the same time.
It's one guy going for 23 plus, or you have five guys in double figure type thing. Like, 10, 11, 10, 12, 13. Yeah.
And we talk about that with Rick Barnes' offense. Like, it's not an offense where, hey, we know we're going to play through this guy, this is what we're going to do. The only benefit to that in March is really, like, Tennessee's a pretty hard team to scout on offense. I mean, and most teams are probably going to spend more time on how do we score against Tennessee, because that is our calling card. Purdue got beat because everyone in the country knows exactly what they're going to do to score.
Yeah, it's the Zach Edey show or nothing else.
And I don't know if you noticed, Chris, but Fairleigh Dickinson basically did exactly what we said to do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I wonder if any of these huge underdogs will ever just dare the other team to shoot with guys that will take threes but aren't the best shooters. Fairleigh Dickinson literally did that.
They
took the backside guy and doubled Edey and
pestered the hell out of him.
And shadowed off the backside is a new term that some of the basketball scheme Knicks are using. They full fronted him. They ran the backside help guy. They just played right. Instead of just only playing help, they played like super help.
Yeah.
And they're like, if you want to skip this ball and shoot a three, go for it. And
that puts so much pressure on your shooters as well when the defense is literally – they're telling you without saying it that, hey, you're not a threat. We don't trust you. You're not going to hit it, so just shoot it.
And even when guys had the ball late in the game, they would just sag off of them. They would just be from you to me, like standing kind of – another guy in front of Edey and be like, shoot it, buddy. And Purdue did a few times. And they hit a couple in the second half. But for the most part, it was Brick City. And that's how they got beat. That game was nuts.
Zach Edey, one shot in the final 12 minutes. Was that the stat, I believe?
That's unbelievable.
I don't think it was his fault, though. Like, at some point, your other guy's got to – I mean, they almost should have just put him in, like, not the short corner and not the deep corner, but a little – like, kind of like just inside the three-point line. They should have just had him go stand over there almost out of bounds.
Purdue doesn't make the tournament without Zach Edey.
No.
They're probably a 500 team without Zach Edey.
No, yeah, but, I mean, still, that was crazy.
No, the Big Ten, I mean, they've kind of been that conference every year that just kind of craps the bed in the tournament.
No, we'll run down the results of the other games and obviously circle back to Tennessee and talk a little FAU, and that's Tennessee's next opponent, of course, in the Sweet 16. Stick with us, final segment, hour one, if you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. Final segment, hour number one. East Regionals set FAU Tennessee, Kansas State, Michigan State. That other game will go first from Madison Square Garden.
With the Spalding A14. I'm just kidding. I don't think we're going to use that ball this time. No. It's the March Madness Wilson balls. It's standard.
Fine. It's the same ball we've been using.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't have to worry about it.
Good to know there.
I'm just glad we could unite Duke and Kentucky fans.
Oh, I was so happy
at Kentucky. Home.
I don't know why I cared that much.
Oh,
but I got really
yeah.
invested into the Kentucky. I mean, obviously they're in our region, which was part of it. But
as much as I wanted to play Kentucky in a possible Elite Eight matchup, if you would have lost that game,
you'd be sick forever,
and you would never hear the end of it from Kentucky fans.
Right.
We kept you from going to your first ever Final Four.
Well, and I think we actually have a better. I think we'd have a better chance of beating Kentucky than Kansas State, because I do think Kansas State's better. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. I'd rather just roll the dice with Kansas State.
At least if you lose to Kansas State, it's like, okay, well, good team, good run.
And they can put up some stinkers, too, Kansas State can.
Kansas State 25-9. I'm trying to see who they lost to. They lost to TC. They got, well, not lost TC by 14. Iowa State beat them by 4. They lost to Kansas by 12. Texas by 3. Oklahoma beat them by 14. West Virginia by 9. And TCU. They haven't been blown out, really.
I do. I mean, I think Florida Atlantic's pretty damn good. That'll be a tough game. But if it sets up pretty nicely, because Michigan State and Kansas State, I think, both very good basketball teams. But if they kind of have a war, and maybe we get a little fortunate, get Florida Atlantic's, you know, B-minus game, you could be the fresher team.
I think what's going to help you a lot in your matchup, it would have helped you either way with your Sweet 16 matchup, regardless of who wins. I think when you have a non-Power 5 school, your Cinderellas, you want to call them, playing really hot, really lights out, I think the worst thing for them to do is to have like a 3-4-day period
yep,
of stoppage.
I agree. The week off, I think that – I mean, because, look, we've won our first two games. We have not played lights-out basketball. Now, defensively against Duke, yes.
Yeah.
But against Louisiana, at no point was I like, oh, yeah, we're hitting
our
stride.
No, we play a different team that night, we lose.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
Had a chance to get out front and push the lead, and then we let them claw back with a 13-0 run, which
well, and this
I'm
is
still
why,
bitter about.
And I do think most sane basketball fans are kind of here. This is why, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, you guys want a fire barns? You want a fire barns?" I mean, maybe Hickman has joked about it a little bit. Some of the callers definitely have said that. That they're tired and or would rather just have someone else or some. I mean, but that's pretty much the most extreme that's gone. We have never once said fire Rick Barnes ever.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
and,
Chris.
And we've even talked about.
He's talking about us, me and him. You have said that.
And this is why, because when you have a high floor and you're in the tournament every year, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee could have played probably 20, 25, maybe 30 teams in that first-round game and gotten beat. But they didn't. They played Louisiana, and they or Tennessee could have not played that really crappy stretch and beat them by 20. Like, it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And when you have a high-floor coach that just puts you in a pretty good position every year, especially when he's older and it's not really going to change, I mean, you just kind of got to ride with them until – and this is just – a lot of people have said, and I think this is a sane take, yeah, we just got to accept that we are who we are and just see what happens. And this is kind of showing you. I think Tennessee could come out and play a stinker and lose to Florida to FAU easily. But if they play really well especially if they just play really well on defense, it's going to be a close game, and then it's anybody's game. If they play really well on defense and have some players show up on offense, I think there's a great chance that Tennessee beats Florida Atlantic and advances. And obviously, you have no idea what they're going to do. I do think they're better than the typical Cinderella team, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They're kind of in this weird middle ground.
I mean, they were ranked for a good part of the year.
Well, they're still ranked. I mean, they're in the top 25. I mean, somebody said they should have been a six based on, like, their KenPom and stuff. Like, basically, you're playing a six seed, not a nine.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than the one. I mean, you know, it could have been – you could be playing Houston in this game. You could be playing – I don't know if playing Kansas is
Purdue.
Better or worse. Purdue, I don't
– I would love to see Plovzich versus Edie.
I was I would have been fascinated to see how Tennessee and Purdue would have matched up.
My fear is we play him straight up and he kind of goes off. I think it would have been a good game, but I think he would have gone for like 20-something.
Yeah, it probably would have been close.
Castleton style.
You know. Only two number one seeds left in the tournament, though. And
Bye-bye.
Obviously. Alabama awaits in the Final Four if they
probably.
Get there and you get there. But they got games to win as well. Their bracket pretty open. We'll take a look around next and kick off hour two.